Tonight, if you would, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26, we're going to be looking at the testimony of this man called the Apostle Paul and some of the things that was given to him and those things that he could remember and was able to convey to others at the end of his life what the Lord had done for him. And we're really not going to read any particular verses to start with. We're just going to be dealing tonight with chapter number 26 as a whole chapter, and then be looking at some other places also in the life of Paul and what the Lord blessed him with in his personal life. When you come to chapter number 26, Paul is getting ready to be really judged, and won't be long until he be facing the executioner, for he had appealed to Caesar because of the things that had was done unto him, and he's going to be making a trip to Rome. And before he goes, he has an opportunity to tell some men in authority what the Lord had done for him and how the Lord had blessed him. And you look in these chapters of the book of Acts, you'll find that Paul had been beaten and he'd been mistreated very strongly because of his testimony. And he stands before, in chapter 24, he stands before a man called Felix. He gives him his testimony of what the Lord has done for him. He's able to speak in his own defense of what God had done in his life. And the Bible tells us in verse number 25 that when Felix heard those things, verse 25 says, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And Felix had heard the testimony of this man, Paul. And after hearing that, I believe under great conviction, he trembles at the thought of what was coming upon him. But he turns Paul away and he said, "When I have a more convenient season," and the scripture does not tell us that he ever had that convenient season. It's a very dangerous thing to put off the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. It's a very dangerous thing to say no to the Lord because he may not come back our way again. We don't choose the time we get saved. God comes to us, offers us opportunity, and when we don't take that opportunity, sometimes the Lord does not come back to us. And Felix trembled at the word of the Lord. He trembled at the message that Paul had given him. And so he trembles, and there's a two-year period of time there that Paul is left in prison. We read these things very rapidly, very quickly, but there's a process of time that goes on, and he's in prison for 2 years, and then he stands before another man by the name of Festus. In chapter number 25, he comes and again there with him, he appeals to Caesar, and he would have been let loose probably if he had not have appealed to Caesar. Paul was a Roman citizen as well as a Jew, and therefore that gave him many privileges that the common everyday Jew did not have because of his Roman citizenship. He could appeal to the Roman government because of what was how he was treated and the wrong way that he was done. And so he appeals to Caesar. And then you come to chapter 26, and he now brings his defense before this man, Agrippa. And we've heard about him. We've talked about him and how that Agrippa was almost persuaded to become a Christian at the testimony of this one man called the Apostle Paul. And so tonight I just want us to look at some things about the testimony that that Paul had before people that was around him, whether they were peasant or whether they were king, whether they were poor or whether they were rich. Paul had a great testimony of what God had done in his life. You and I tonight, sometimes we think we don't have very much of a testimony. My goodness, we have a great testimony for what God's done for us and how he has blessed us and given us life eternal. different situations of all of our lives, different conditions around the things that happen. But I believe as we look at these things about Paul, we'll find that what the Lord did for Paul, he did for me. And what he did for him, he also did for you. And I'm glad tonight that the gospel is for everyone. I'm glad it's for everyone that will hear. It's available to those that might come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is needed equally for the rich or the poor. It's needed equally for those that are exalted or those that are outcast. The gospel is needed for every individual. And here in chapter 26, as a prisoner, sometimes we don't think too much about Paul being, but he was a prisoner of the government, and he had been in prison those years, and he was committed there because of false accusations that were given to him. He did not get bitter. He did not lose his faith, but he stayed faithful to the Lord, and he did what God had called him to do. And so we come to verse number 1 of Acts chapter 26, and Paul says, or the scripture says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to stand or to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I thank myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." So Paul begins his message here and his testimony that he's glad and happy that he's able to stand before this man that had great authority, had complete authority over him. He said, I'm glad, I'm happy that I can stand here and give you these things that, and bring those things that I'm accused of the Jews because of the falsehoods that were before him. And then in verse 4, on down through the verses, we'll read quite a few of these and note some things. But from verse 4 on, Paul begins to tell his life story. He begins to tell the message of what, how he was raised and what conditions of life that he had. And he goes about telling how he met the Lord. And so he just simply gives his personal testimony. And every one of us tonight that are saved, we have a personal testimony. We have that testimony that we can use and that God can use through us to be able to convince and convey the message of the gospel to those that will hear us and those that will believe. And Paul tells us in these next few verses how that the Lord changed the destiny of his soul, how he changed his direction, how he changed all the things that were there in his life, that the Lord certainly made a difference, and how that he changed even the desire of his heart. And so these verses we look at tonight, and we've looked at them before many times in reading, and then we'll look at some other places of the testimony that Paul had, how that God blessed him and made him a good messenger of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I know that most of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul, this man that was an enemy of the gospel, an enemy of the cross, an enemy of the church, and now the Lord saves him and he changes his life. In verse number 4, we find that Paul had in his background, he tells us here that the manner of his life was that he was among the nation of Israel and of Jerusalem, and he is known of all the Jews. He said, my manner of life from my youth. So from the time that Paul was a young boy until this time here, just shortly before he's going to be executed, Paul says, here's my manner of life. Here's what the Lord has done for me. And he tells his background, tells his life story. He says, my manner was that I was a Pharisee, verse number 5. He said, I was raised in a home that was a Pharisaical home. He lived in a place that, in a home that believed very strictly in keeping the Mosaic law, keeping the Ten Commandments, and literally believing that those things had to be strictly adhered to in order to have favor with God. And so Paul was a Pharisee. In other places of the scripture, Paul says that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. That means he was as deep in it as he could go. He was as strong in it as he could get. He was a Pharisee. And of course, we know they may have been religious, but most of those folks, as the Lord dealt with them in his personal ministry, we find that most of those Pharisees were lost and undone, and they were hypocritical. They looked down upon everyone else. They held themselves up to a higher standard than anyone else. And if you didn't reach their standard, then you was not right with God. And so Paul lays the foundation here of what he was and the type of individual that he was as a Pharisee. He says in verse number 6, "Now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving Lord day and night, a hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jew." He says, I did what the fathers have done. I'm looking forward. I was looking forward to that which was before us. And he said, I was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And then we find that Paul was very religious. He had all the religion that he could stand and all that he could have. And verse number 9 tells us that he thought God was pleased with him for what he was doing. Verse 9 says, "I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." And so in the center of Paul's early life, Jesus of Nazareth was a thorn in his flesh. He was one that he felt as though that he owed it to his religion, he owed it to his nation, he owed it to his family, to do away with this man called the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here that I was pleased, and he said, I thought God would be pleased with me. He had a zeal for the Lord, but it was not according to knowledge. And he felt as though God was going to be pleased with him for having committed these serious accusations and crimes and even deaths of Christian people because of this man called Jesus. He had believers thrown into prison. Verse number 10 tells us that. He said, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they had put to death, I gave my voice against them." Paul is very honest in his testimony. He said, I was the one that gave my voice against the death of people that were called Christians or people that were following this man called Jesus. I guess the most well-known one is Stephen. As Paul watched those men stone Stephen to death, the Bible tells us in the early chapters of Acts that he held the coats of those that were doing the stoning, and he literally gave his desires for this man Stephen to be slaughtered, to be killed, because he was a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ. But I don't believe Paul ever got away from the words that Stephen said as he died. He said, "Father, do not lay this to their charge." He heard and he saw the man Stephen, the man of God that he was, die, and he, I don't believe he ever got away from the words of this that man called Stephen, that first martyr of the New Testament church. And then he tells about, in verse 13, he tells about his trip. In verse 11, 12, 13, he tells about his trip on his way to Damascus. He has orders with him to shut up people into prison, to take the Christians and literally to destroy them or to kill them. And he tells what happened in verse number 13. He says, "At midday, O king, I saw the way a light of heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" So he hears the voice of God. He hears the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hears the words of the messenger of the Lord. Why are you persecuting me? And so Paul is relaying all these things to this man called King Agrippa. Can you imagine Paul being literally a prisoner, but he has freedom now. And Agrippa is the one that primarily is under the control of this preacher called Paul. He hears the testimony and hears these words of what the Lord had done for him. And he says, he changed my destiny. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. All of a sudden, this man that is high in authority has authority there in verse number 12. He says, I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, and had that authority, and that commission was to kill Christians, to kill the believers, to kill the people that were following the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden he hears the voice of the Lord. He says, why persecutest thou me? Who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus. And so that made a definite difference in the life of this man called Paul. It changed his destination. It changed his way of life. It changed the way he lived. It changed the things that he did. It changed where he's going to spend eternity. And certainly he is in the historical accounts of the Word of God as a great preacher, as probably the greatest missionary that has ever been, covered more territory, preached to more people than most people even in our day and time because of the work of God in his life. So his destination was changed. His soul was saved because he heard the voice of Jesus Christ. And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And I believe there on the road to Damascus, Saul realized that what he was doing, even though he was doing it in zeal, even though he was doing it with much endeavor and much encouragement from those around him, all of a sudden Saul realized what I'm doing is wrong, and that I believe the Lord saved him there that day on the road to Damascus, changed everything about his life. And that's why he can stand now before King Agrippa and testify to him of what the Lord had done for him, how he was in his early life, and now the Lord has changed his direction. In these next verses, verses 16 through 25, we find that Paul recounts some things about his ministry and his works and the things that the Lord did for him, how that the Lord delivered him from the people, and how that God gave him a ministry. When the Lord spoke to Paul, or Saul at that time, the Lord laid out his whole life's plan. And you and I tonight, we maybe don't know everything God has for us. But when the Lord spoke to Saul that day on the road to Damascus, God gave him and gave others the direction of Saul's life. And it's found in verse number 16, 17, and 18, especially verse number 18. He says in verse 18, to open the eyes and to turn from them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Saul said, when the Lord came to me, he let me know what my course of life would be. He let me know what I was going to do. He let me know that I was going to deliver people from the darkness of the Gentile world. He says God told him that his mission was to open the eyes of those that were in darkness, that spiritual darkness that so many people are in tonight. That is our job. That is our task. God gave that to Saul. He knew it immediately, and he set about there to begin to carry that out. And that's why he's here in a prison facing the charges of the Jews that he is a renegade, that he's an unbeliever. He does not believe in the traditions of the Jews. He's not a practicing Pharisee. So therefore, Paul must be put to death. Paul must have many things put upon him. And Paul says here, Saul says, I was given the course to open their eyes. He says not only that, and to turn them from darkness to light. You know what that is? That is another way of saying preaching repentance. Turning from. Repentance is a turning from and a turning to. It's not enough just to turn from. That turning from means we turn over a new leaf. If we get convicted of certain things, well, I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to live better. I'm going to turn a new leaf over and things are going to be better. That is a turning from, but repentance is a turning from. And in the same process, you turn to. And so the commission that Paul had was to preach unto them and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's the action. That's the end result of a person coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing Him, and exercising the ministry that God gave unto him to turn them from the power of Satan, thank God, to the power of God. Paul ministered to the to people so they could have forgiveness of their sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. And now Paul turns his attention to King Agrippa, and he says, I was not disobedient. I believe all of Paul's life, he was as obedient as he knew to be wherever he was in his life. As a Pharisee, he was obedient to the sect of the Pharisees. As that young man growing up in that Pharisaical home, he did his best to be what he ought to be. He did his best to be what he was told to be, and he was not disobedient to what was given to him and how that he was to live until he met the Lord and he realized there's something far better, there's something far greater. And so Paul's life, his destination was changed, his direction was changed, his life was changed, and everything about him was because he was obedient and brought peace unto himself. And when Paul began to fulfill his call, then the enemies came. Anytime we live for God, enemies are going to come before us. Look at verse number 21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. So here's the testimony. As long as he was doing what everybody wanted him to do, he was okay. As long as he was doing what was expected of him as a Pharisee, he was doing fine. But there was a change made in his life. He met someone whom he was fighting against. He met this man called Jesus. Paul says even himself that he was one born out of due season, but he saw the Lord that day on the road to Damascus. He heard his voice. He believed upon him, and he set about to do the work of the Lord that God had given to him. And now the enemy comes. And for these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And Paul seizes this opportunity here in verse number 23 through 25. And he gives unto him and explains the gospel to this king called Agrippa. Let's read verse number 22 on down through 25. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And here's the gospel that he gives to King Agrippa, that Christ, that word Christ means Messiah, that Christ, our Messiah, should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Here's this other man that he's dealt with already before Festus. He said, Paul, you're crazy. That really is what Festus said to Paul. He said, you're just simply crazy. Too much learning, too much instruction. And what brought this about was his testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. Too much learning hath made thee mad. But he said, Paul speaking now, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Agrippa was very well versed, very well learned in the Old Testament and the Scriptures. And so he just asked him the question, do you believe the prophets? And he answers his own question forth, the king, and he says, I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, I believe this is some of the saddest words you'll ever read in the Scripture. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Here he has the testimony of the great missionary Paul that has gone through struggle after struggle. And God has blessed him with many, many things. And Jesus had changed his destination, his destiny. He had changed his direction. He's changed his desire. Instead of destroying the church of God, now he's building the church of the Lord. Instead of destroying Christians, now he is building up Christians and establishing churches all around the world at that time. And now he stands before Agrippa, and Agrippa makes that statement, almost, thou persuadest me. How would you have liked to have been sitting there just in a small group and hear Paul give his testimony? As a lost person, I believe you'd come to the point of almost. As a lost individual, I believe you'd feel and know the presence of God upon this man's life. You see, lost people know about the power of God. Sometimes they know more than we think they know. And here this man says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, Paul is having a conversation now, not just with the whole group. He is keyed in on this one man called Agrippa. And he says, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul says, I wish my desire is that Agrippa, not only you, but all that hear me, even Festus that says I'm mad, even this man that says I'm beside myself, even this man that says too much learning and I'm crazy, I would to God that he would be as I am, except the bonds of the chains that was upon him. And when he had thus spoken, King rose, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Paul had persuaded them. Paul had given to them his whole life story in just a few verses that we have. And so they go off, and they're discussing what they've just heard. Why could Paul say those things with such force? Why could Paul be so convincing in his delivery of what God had done for him? You know, we can be very forceful and we can be very convincing when we know exactly what we're talking about. And Paul wasn't talking about something that had been told him. Paul was talking about things that had happened in his life personally, and they come to the conclusion that he really shouldn't be here in bondage. They come to the conclusion that Paul had done nothing wrong. They've come to the conclusion that it's foolish for us to judge him because there's nothing worthy of him being in bondage. And then said Agrippa to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. So when Paul says, I appeal to Caesar, that meant one thing. God had already told Paul, he said, you're going to stand before Caesar. You're going to stand before kings. You're going to stand before people. And here Agrippa said, if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, we'd let him go. But since he has done that, we have to bring him over and have to hold him over that he would one day stand before the ruler of Rome. Paul had that right. Paul had that ability to appeal and to go there. But what made Paul's testimony so believable? What made it so convincing? What made it to the point that one man says you're crazy and another man says almost? What's the key behind that? I believe it's because of the things that Paul had in his mind and had in his heart. I believe it's because of those personal experiences that Paul had gone through in his journey from the road to Damascus to here appealing to Caesar. Can you imagine all the things, the stories that Paul had? And we have many of them in our scripture. We have many things preserved to us that happened to Paul in his ministry. We have that time that he had been put in jail. And there in Acts chapter number 16, we have it recorded to us that he's put in jail, as he was in so many times, and at the midnight hour they sang praises to God. And the prison doors were opened and the shackles fell off. And a man that we call the Philippian jailer, he got saved that night. Not only him, but his entire family. That was a late hour. I'll tell you why, that was a late hour message, a late hour time together, because they were singing at midnight, and before the next day really came upon them, that family of the Philippian jailer, they'd already been saved and baptized. I'm telling you what, they had a late night that night. And so Paul had experiences that were real in his life, and he could share them. We have them shared with us out of the scripture. The Lord turned that prison into a prayer meeting. The Lord turned those things that were such a, sometimes look like a curse, and he turned them into a blessing. And of course, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 5 tells us that our God can turn a curse into a blessing. God can take that which we think is terrible and that which is bad, and we think we can never get through it, and God will turn it around, and it'll be a great blessing to us and to others. God's able to do that. I'm thinking about Paul in his poverty. He could say, I can do all things through Christ. I'm thinking about Paul in his poverty. He'd say, everything I own, it comes from the Lord. I think about Paul and as he was persecuted, and the suffering that came to him, how that he was left dead. And the scriptures deliver to us that he had had at least 190 lashes put upon his back through his ministry. And Paul had a testimony. Paul was a scarred man because of the gospel. And so therefore we find that here's this king that maybe has an easy life. This king that has a wonderful life as far as humanly speaking. And here he's standing before a preacher that maybe his health is not what it ought to be. The thorn that is in his flesh, maybe whatever it might have been, Paul was concerned about that, and he's standing before a king that had everything going for him, but yet the king says, you almost persuade me to be like you. How can that be? Because I'll tell you why. Paul knew what he was talking about, because Paul understood where he had been. God had turned his persecution into a personal witness. Paul talks about it for those verses that we read, those persecutions that came to him. Paul says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. God turned his problems into the presence of the Lord. We're not there yet in the reading of the scripture, but just a little bit over a page or two, you find that Paul now has been taken and he's being shipped to Rome. Paul knew he was going to Rome. Paul knew wouldn't anything stop his going, because the Lord came to him and said, "Thou, you must stand before Caesar." And so he gets on this ship, and you know the story, that great storm, Euroclydon, that came, and the storm that broke up the ship. Paul said, be of good cheer. There stood by me this night an angel of God whose I am. What a testimony. Don't have to worry because we're not going to lose any men. We're going to lose the ship. And Paul wasn't a mariner. Paul was not a fisherman. Paul was not a person of the sea. But he knew the Lord, and God said, you're going to go to Rome, and nothing will prevent that. And so the problems that came along to him, Paul says in Acts chapter 27, verse 23 through 25, he says, I believe God. What made Paul a great testimony? I believe it comes down to those words, I believe God. Just believe the Lord. When it's unbelievable, Paul could have said to Festus, I just believe God. You think I'm crazy. You think my learning has destroyed my mind. He said, I just believe God. You and I tonight, the world may think we're foolish. The world may think we're crazy. The world may think we're beside ourselves. But just believe God. We're facing issues that we've never faced before. Just believe God. We may be facing some hardships that we've never had before. Whatever comes our way, the key to it, just believe God. He preached. He won the hearts of the prisoners and the guards everywhere he was. How would you have liked to have been, a Roman soldier when he got to Rome and he's got a guard at him all the everywhere he goes, there that guard is. And here's all the messages and here's the words of Paul. That man certainly had the gospel given to him. So he turned those things. God took those persecutions and prisons, and he took the poverty, he took the problems. He turned his pleading tears into praises. In Romans chapter number 9, Paul never did get away from his kinsmen. In Romans chapter 9, we read these words. I say a truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Those are very, very strong words that Paul said. Really what Paul is saying there, he said, I would go to hell for my kinsmen. I would be accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, the Jew. He says in verse 4, who are the Israelites to who pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Who are the fathers and who is concerning the flesh? Christ came. Who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Paul says these Jews do not realize what they have. They are the ones that God conveyed to them the law. They are the ones that God gave them the service of God. Read back in the Old Testament as all the service that they were to do in the temple and the tabernacle worship. They are the one that received the promises of God, and we have them recorded in our Bible. They are the fathers. They are those concerning the flesh, a Jew, this man Christ came, who is over all. Paul turned his pleading tears into a praise that the compassion that he might have upon the Jews could be felt. He says, I have a heaviness. Verse 1, chapter 10, Romans. Brethren, talking to Roman Christians here. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. How could Paul say that? Because Paul had that same zeal as an unbeliever. As a Pharisee, Paul said, I've been there, I know. He said they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They were very active. They were very busy. They were very religious. Paul says, my heart's desire is that they might be saved. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness. Paul says they don't have any idea about the righteousness of God. That's why Paul could stand before Felix and Festus and Agrippa. That's why he could stand with the words that he gave to them. And that's why they would listen and tremble at his words. That's why they would listen and be convicted in their heart and be almost persuaded to be a Christian just like Paul. Why? Because he was so convinced of what he had was right. He was so convinced that he had a great testimony of the love of God for him, and not only him, but now his love for his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh. Other than Jesus Christ, I doubt there's ever been a man had more compassion upon his own people than this man called Paul. The Bible says Jesus came to his own, they received him not. Paul went to his own first, and they rejected the message because they rejected Christ. And he had a vision one day, and there's a man of Macedonia, that section of land called Macedonia. And Paul heard the voice and saw the vision of a man saying, come over and help us. We call that the Macedonian call. That's the missionary call. Paul heard that. Paul saw that. And he says, lo, we turn to who? Thank God tonight to the Gentiles. We have the gospel tonight because this man, Paul, turned from his brethren, turned from his flesh, and carried the gospel to the Gentile world and established churches all across what we know of today as Europe. And that gospel has spread, and we have the same gospel tonight that Paul preached, and we are Gentiles. Thank God for this man called Paul. How can you have a great testimony? Know what you're talking about. Experience the blessings of the Lord, know what he's done, and be able to relate it to someone else. Who knows, somebody might tremble at the word, somebody might be persuaded at the word. And you can be assured there'll be somebody that says, oh, you're crazy. Nothing to that. That's foolishness. But I'll tell you what, there are those that will believe. Thank God I did one day, you did one day, because we heard the same gospel that Paul preached, same testimony that Paul gave, changed my desires, my direction, changed my life. May God help us to send the story of the salvation of people, the story of Christ, that they might come to know him in a full, free pardon of their sin. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You and I tonight, we need to have the same burden for our people. America is dying, going to hell tonight. There's a lot of people that have a religious zeal, but they don't know according to knowledge. They have a religion, but they have not Christ. And we have the same message that Paul had. Somebody will hear. Somebody will accept. Somebody will believe. May God help us to be faithful and to be like Paul. We may never come up to his standard or his standing, but we have, really and truly, we have the same message. We have the same thing. What was it? Jesus changed his destination. He was going to hell. Now he's going to heaven. Jesus changed the direction of his life. No longer was he just a Pharisee, but now he's a child of the Lord. And Jesus changed the desires of his heart. What God's done for Paul, he's done for us. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. I pray God give us a good week in the work that he gives to us, and serving him, honoring him, and just be faithful. Give your testimony. That's the best thing you've got. You say, oh, I don't know a lot of scripture. Just give your testimony. What the Lord's done for you, he can do for them. God help us to do that. Brother Ralph, if you would dismiss us in prayer.